I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry. I'm playing through pain, man. It's appropriate, too. I'll be bashing a big fat fatty later in the episode. And I'm hungry because I had been eating well, and then yesterday I visited you in Baltimore and was eating huge Italian sausages.
Deliciousness worthy of defeating a diet.
Go homo with that as you want. Eating big, big, thick Italian sausages. Just dripping with their juices.
With two of your best friends from high school.
Watching, participating. Hey, shit. It's a dirty one. I can say shit.
Yep.
So can you. Learn it. Know it. Love it. Live it. Whatever the fuck they told Spicoli.
What is it? Fuck, cunt, asshole? What are the other things I'm not supposed to say when we do regular shows? I keep trying to remember. I'm bad at it.
They've gotten so ambiguous with it. Now it's like you can't even tiptoe around. Like, anytime I talk about beating off, I get in trouble. And
really?
Oh, God. Anything sexual.
Playing the piano with your penis, right? That's what got Howard Stern a multi-million dollar fine.
I forgot that. I know that I think one time back in the day he got in trouble because he was like, I never had sex with a black chick, but I jacked off to an Aunt Jemima bottle.
Wow.
Yeah.
That? Wow.
That. Maybe the racial aspect bumped it up. I do not know. But that was apparently one of the first FCC fines. I believe. I could be wrong. I just remember that exact line from Private Parts. Like, not the movie, the book.
Okay.
I read that book and Miss America, like, they were my fucking Bibles. That and No Cure for Cancer. This predated the internet, and so I had nothing to do in my room, and I really couldn't just, like, lock my door and audibly masturbate either.
Hey, you're writing a book these days, aren't you?
I mean, I was. I was until I discovered fucking 6 Feet Under on HBO Go and Diablo 3 on my Xbox, and now I do nothing.
Research. You're doing research.
Oh, my God. I'm just storing calories for the long winter ahead of us. That's what it fucking feels like. It's disgusting. Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio. He's Howard Flood. The show's website, inpapasbasement.com. Go there for new episodes every Monday and every Thursday. They used to be, like, up at the ass crack of Monday and Thursday, but we got live, so now we're recording them as of late on Monday and Thursday. That might change. Might change soon.
I think it's going to change now that the NFL season's over. We don't have to meet on Mondays now.
Yeah, it's true. So we can give you some nice stale stuff recorded on Thursday. So it can literally be a week old by the time you get the second Thursday episode.
Hey, we are known far and wide for our evergreen episodes. They just
really?
never get old. Like the timeless philosophical questions that we answer.
The Seahawks just won the Super Bowl last Sunday. There's your evergreen.
Oh, thanks,
there's
man.
Your evergreen, you
thanks,
shit licker.
Thanks, man.
Find us on iTunes. That's the big thing. Please subscribe on iTunes in theory if we ever get traction. God, if it ever happens. If we're ever that 40-year-old actress who actually makes it. It'll happen via iTunes. Look up Papa's Basement there and Papa's Football Podcast as well, which
I actually
we mentioned.
Have strict instructions for you to destroy all episodes in which I appear should you ever actually get a like national following.
I mean, we technically have a
national
following.
We do have a national
following.
But if there's like...
Sean F. listens. He listens a lot. Thank you, Sean F. And he's in Jersey. So we're national.
If you ever get to, let's say, like 50,000 regular listeners, I don't know. Are you there already?
I'm probably like 5-ish an episode or something
okay.
like that.
Well, like once it starts getting to the point where... Yeah, I this is not necessarily something I want to be known for, man. I love you and all, but... Until
I'm processing
I'm not sure
this.
You could pay me enough to
I'm processing this. Be sure that I will never be able to pay you enough and let's just go forward.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as I stay amateur, like
be
this is
very
cool.
secure in that assumption.
When you become a legitimate professional, yeah, I may be stepping away from the microphone.
Are you gonna drop it hip hop style?
No, these are really nice mics.
They are. They're like $450 each. I looked it up. It's fucking insane how much went into this studio. God bless it.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot to do today. I'm not just saying that in the usual cover my ass, say you have a lot to do today because it eats 5 seconds
right.
to say those words. We do have a lot of shit. I visited you in Baltimore. I just mentioned that. We got to talk about your digs.
Yeah, because I'm going to be leaving there before the end of the year, so I needed you to see it.
Yeah, I'm glad I got to. I always love the almost, am I looking for ironic or sarcastic? That's what I'm looking for. It's so sad when you mix up like things that are really common. Like to be like, oh, is that metonymy or metaphor? That one I get. But sarcasm or irony, it's like, wait, you're a guy who's 32. You should know that one.
Really?
Well, there's a very sarcastic thing that's on all the bus benches where it just reads like carved in the wood, Baltimore, the greatest city on earth. And I remember the very first time I noticed that, I was passing through with my buddy Tony, the photographer.
Yeah.
And he looks up from the car. He's like, I need to take a picture of that. And I'm like, what's he seeing? Like some fucking crack whore blowing a guy? I'm like, that's hilarious. And it was just like a junkie bum passed out on a bench. And right, you know, next to his torso, it has the Baltimore best city
Please
on earth
tell
slogan.
Me that's available on his website.
No, he didn't take it. He's like, I should take a picture. And I'm like, fuck yeah, you should. I want that as like as my wallpaper.
So wait, he didn't take it?
No, he didn't get it. Trust me. Okay. I'm pretty sure we could go to Baltimore day or night, any time of the week, and we can get at least one bum on one of the city's fine benches.
The slogan is that technically, to be precise, yeah. It's the greatest city in America.
Greatest city in America. That's it.
And the subtext to me is more, what it should actually say is Baltimore. At least we're not Detroit.
That's really what it should say.
Yeah.
We're not Detroit. We're not Camden. Short of that, you win. We're wrong. St. Louis, you still got us beat. You got the St. Lunatics. We got to do that. I mentioned 6 feet Under. I want to discuss that. I don't know how much of a following that ever had. You have a bemused grin.
It was pretty popular. Yeah.
Was it in its day? I thought it was completely just shit on by Sopranos. I know I didn't touch it.
Oh, yeah, no. There was a bizarre rivalry for some reason between, like,
was
Sopranos
really?
Fans felt like they would be cheating on their show if they supported another HBO critically acclaimed series.
I suppose so. I guess that is what I felt at the time. Maybe Don and Mike didn't watch 6 Feet Under and discuss it either, because I remember Sopranos was Sunday night at 9, and if it was a good episode, you couldn't wait until Don and Mike got behind the microphones Monday at 3 to discuss it.
I don't ever think 6 Feet Under was that kind of show where you had to talk about episode to episode as much. Do you feel like watching it now, years later, that it's the sort of thing where you could actually have had a radio show that weekly aired the night after, the day after, that was like rehashing the episode?
No, if nothing else, it seems like it has a hundredth of the viewership that The Sopranos had. There's a huge gay undercurrent to the show, and by undercurrent, I mean it dick smacks you in the face.
Right, yeah. Yeah, Dexter is...
Dexter's on fruit.
Yeah.
To put it politically correctly. Dexter takes it up the pishadoo.
From a black guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big black cop. I think Keith.
Yeah, that's right.
Was it Keith? Or am I thinking of Keith the cop from Opie and Anthony? I could be wrong.
I don't know, but the first episode, I have seen a few episodes. I do really enjoy the pilot because, I mean, if I understand correctly, one of the brothers bangs a girl in a supply closet at the airport.
Yeah.
And she becomes a regular for the entire series.
Apparently. I'm at the end of 3 out of 5 and that bitch ain't left yet.
Yeah. She, I believe, was in that Australian movie about the two women who are in love with ABBA. It was her and Toni Collette. What is that called? Is it Muriel's Wedding? Where she's obsessed with ABBA?
It
was
Toni
Collette's big movie. So what's interesting is this little production in Australia.
Big movie.
But it was her breakout movie.
Okay.
So
I thought that was Sixth Sense.
What got her into Hollywood was Muriel's Wedding. It's just a small... Dude, I'm talking like an independent film made in Australia. Landed her theatrical screenings in the U.S., and then she actually got real roles in Hollywood. So yes, obviously, her biggest movie ever was Sixth Sense, but she never would have made it in Hollywood if she hadn't made this like weird wedding movie.
Muriel's Wedding.
Yeah.
Didn't Muriel's Wedding have the broad that used to be all fat, and it was like Matt Damon's woman for a couple of years?
It was Toni Collette.
Mary something.
I don't know.
Hold
you
on.
Should look this up. But
I don't think I could have gotten more misogynist, by the way. I referred to a woman as it and Matt Damon's woman. that object he possessed. Hold on. Matt Damon x Mimi. It isn't Mimi Rogers. I know she's the tit monster I love. What the fuck was your name? Damn it. I got some pictures. Matt Damon ex. I'm just going to go with Matt Damon ex-girlfriend.
But what's interesting also with that Toni Collette movie, the prominent role that ABBA's music played in it was part of the inspiration.
Minnie Driver.
Oh.
Wasn't Minnie Driver a big fat fatty in Muriel's Wedding?
I don't remember that. Look this up. No, because okay. I think there's it was a small production where you had one actress make it big, and then the other one, her biggest role has been 6 Feet Under.
What was her fat movie? Minnie Driver movies. Best Minnie Driver movies on Yahoo. They got some balls saying that. Good Will Hunting, An Ideal Husband, Circle of Friends. Fuck.
Circle of Friends, wasn't it?
I swear to God, there's like a movie where the whole thing was she's a big fat fatso. David, he'll know this at Really Profound. He'll know this shit. He knows some weird stuff. He was able to pull the Black Playmate from 90. The first Black Playmate of the year, Renee Tennyson.
Right.
This will shock you. She aged amazingly. Shocker. We got all that. We also got a fat dancer video that has been making the rounds on HuffPo.
All right.
HuffPo got it out there, and it's gone quote unquote viral, unlike anything we've ever done in our lives. And at last but not least, some We Can Cut promos, which we have to do at some point.
All right. We'll see if we can get that in the hour.
We got to cut promos for More Like Radio.
People can always download them off the site if we have to add them as bonus content on the website.
I don't believe in bonus content. I just want to lurch across the finish line. So if I can get 10 minutes here and there,
all right,
I ain't giving it away. I suppose in theory I could record them at home, but I don't want to.
Got me here, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're part of the show, in theory. So is Allison, even though I called her last night to be on the show, and now she just sent me a picture that I don't know if those are her jugs or not. It's like her in a tight shirt with her cleavage out.
Nice.
And she's wearing a horrific clown mask. I don't know if that's her or not. It could be someone else.
That's
I don't know
really
why
disturbing.
Yeah, I don't know why the fuck she sent that to me.
Oh, those are killer clowns pics.
Is that her or someone else?
I think that's someone else.
Yeah, I guess. She
I
usually,
don't know.
I don't get like juggy photos. Like we don't have anything sexual betwixt us. That's like between her and literally all of her Facebook
fans. I was
going
to say, that would be weird for her to send you booby pics of her own. I think she sends you booby pics as a general principle just because she knows you appreciate them on other women. So
yeah, I mean, I'll get something of someone else. I've certainly never seen the tops of her mountains, but I am weirded out that I got that fucking killer clown picture. But let's do the Baltimore thing. While it's fresh in our heads, while I did that, what, 24 hours ago?
Yeah, nah, I appreciate you making your way up.
It was great. I had a job. We all know that my big boy job, how I actually pay the bills, because Christ knows it isn't via podcasting, is as a locksmith. I own a locksmith company, and I service a bunch of Gaps and Banana Republics. That's like my fat contract. I really shouldn't have mentioned that on air. Please don't try to derail that for me. Anyone vengeful out there, that is my Achilles heel. Oh, God, why am I elaborating on this? So I had to service the Banana Republic in that Columbia, Maryland mall where that psychopath shot the poor girl whose Facebook and Instagram I may or may not have stalked for jack pictures. Don't judge me. And the guy, I don't remember the guy who died, but two guys got shot and then this asshole killed himself. This
right.
pathetic little weirdo. They still haven't determined why he did it. Other than he's a piece of shit who can't handle life. Why are you just staring at me with your leg twitching like a dog has to piss?
No, yeah, I need more coffee.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that sarcasm?
No.
Do you want to get it now?
No, I don't.
But your leg's all twitchy. Why do you need more coffee?
Because I only had 2 cups this morning.
That's your thing. Okay. Yeah. So I had to repair the back door where the SWAT team actually tore through the Banana Republic to get to this guy. To, I guess, not take him out. He shot himself, in theory. I'm kind of always a believer when they're like, this kid shot himself, like the SWAT team just dusted him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the part of the story that you told me earlier, and I don't understand this part. You said that the doors were actually unlocked, and they just plowed through them anyway.
Yeah, I think SWAT teams are maybe against touching any levers. They don't know if shit's bombed. That's my only assumption.
Okay.
But yeah, there were tons of doors. It was a fucking panic exit, Howard. Do you know what a panic exit is? A panic bar, a crash bar, a fire bar, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
It's designed so that you literally push into it
right.
in the event of panic and it'll open.
Right.
And these guys didn't even touch that. They just took the fucking battering ram, whatever they had, the 3-foot thing you see on cops, and I guess just smashed it off the wall, sheared
wow.
it right off. And so it was just hanging kind of like by a couple screws that remained dangling there, beat to shit.
So this is what you did after you came to Baltimore.
That was the whole reason I was in Baltimore. I had to replace that and some shit they did to the front as well. Because, again, they didn't just push the front door open. They fucking, like, caved it in.
So it was good of you, though, to come to my neighborhood where it is almost as safe as the Columbia Mall.
Well, I was going to say the Columbia Mall, even right in the wake of the shooting, looks 100 times better than your neighborhood. Your neighborhood, the weird thing about Baltimore, and I'm gathering this is a lot of cities, actually, short of New York. New York really seems like here's our good area. There's a lot of good area. You're paying to have a moat of good area around you. Mm-hmm. Your dear, sweet white wife won't get raped in the alleyways. So many other streets, or I'm sorry, cities, it seems like good street, good neighborhood, bad neighborhood. You have to walk two blocks, and it looks like Mogadishu.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that based on the cities or anything, it's just the bombed outness of it all.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're going to see a skinny putting a fucking pipe on his rocket launcher so he can take out a Blackhawk. That's what they called them, skinnies. I read the book.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's less than five blocks. So I live near North Avenue. There's a neighborhood called Station North, which is an arts district. And it is divided essentially along this line known as Greenmount Avenue. So at the corner of Greenmount and North, that's where it gets super ghetto. I mean, it's just, it's convenience stores, liquor stores, and the occasional, like, fried food joint.
All the food groups.
And that's it.
Exactly. Everything you need to maintain ghetto life is walking distance from you.
But four blocks west of that, you have, like, four music venues with indie live theater stages.
I think this
is
how a lot of hipster kids live.
Yeah.
Two blocks from the seat of what the crack epidemic did 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So Columbia is, I want to say, 10 miles outside Baltimore, and I was nearby, and we have a mutual friend who, out of the blue, hit me up for a book he let me borrow 5 years ago and I never touched. So I was like, all of this can come together. I can have lunch with Howard, who lives in Baltimore. My other buddy in Baltimore, I can give him his books back.
And he came out for lunch as well.
Yeah.
I missed him too.
I got my job to, you know, 20-something minutes away. Let's actually not just call it a day by driving to the shit suburb. I can go into the beautiful city that is Baltimore. And you've been bitching at me for a while to see your digs.
Yeah.
So I was like, fine, let's see him. And by the way, this is a house you've been broken into and had your TV stolen. So this
wasn't my TV, but yeah, that's
your roommate.
Yeah.
Your roommate, I guess, left the door open and someone walked in, or they got a tiny kid and fed him through the crossbars.
Through an unlocked window would be the only other thing. So
yeah.
Something was left unlocked.
Either way, it's sinister, and I would feel like my soul was raped had that ever happened in my house.
It was pretty upsetting.
It really has to be. I'm not joking. Like, your room, I think you're still processing this. Your room still looks like someone ransacked it.
Because I didn't entirely clean up after that.
Yes.
Less than 2 months ago, so, yeah.
That's 2 months ago.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Well, you gotta be, to be fair, I spent half my time at my girlfriend's place in, like, D.C., so.
Yeah, but you spent a couple days a week there, and I'm not saying you're lazy or any shit. I'm just saying it probably still fucked with your head to the point you're just like, this doesn't even feel like mine anymore. Why am I cleaning it up?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. It still feels like mine, but it's just, like, in my mind, I'm already planning when I'm moving back to the D.C. area for various reasons, but one of them is, like, you know what? I don't want to re-up here. That pretty much sealed the deal of, like, should I sign another lease to the same house? I like this house a lot. You saw it. It's a nice house.
Oh, I was going to go on about the awesomeness of its construction.
Yeah.
It's how old? Easily from 1900, right?
It's like the 1920s at the latest.
Yeah, so they did not really have the horseless carriage around then.
They did not.
And you can tell, because there are certain things that are just like, fuck you, car. For example, when I tried to parallel park, there's a huge, I don't want to call it a flower pot, because it's not a pot. It's just kind of like a 3x3 square where they built up the cement or put bricks, I forget which, literally right at the edge of the curb so they could fill it with dirt and put flowers inside it.
Right.
The beauty of it is it completely fucks your ability to parallel park, because if you get near it, you're going to tear off your bumper. It's
right.
Literally 2 inches past the edge of the curb, this thing juts out.
Right.
And so this kindly old black dude who was like he was getting a wheelchair, I guess, to get like his crippled wife out or some shit.
Yeah, there are a lot of old people on my block.
Yeah, he saw me struggling to get out because I couldn't do my normal parallel parking shit. And he, of course, is just like, oh, white suburban kid from Virginia. He's like, let me do my good deed for the day. And he's giving me the kind of the airplane cones in the air signals to get me the fuck out of there. And I was just, I wanted to be like, dude, I work in the city all the time. I'm usually not such a puss about this, but this fucking structure right behind me is poised to cave in my fucking trunk.
Right.
If I screw up just this much. I was so happy I didn't. Same with you. You pulled up to the house. You let me in your car. And there's like a tree's roots. It's one of those weird sidewalk trees,
right,
where the roots can't go anywhere. So they just bubble up and up and up, yeah, around the trunk. And the simple act of opening your door caught it on the roots. And we had to like pull forward 2 feet and almost fucking smash into the guy in front of us.
Yeah, the ergonomics of my block are quite poor.
There's a lot of shit that's just come around in the last, like, I don't know, 30-something, 50 years. Like your house, too. You get inside your house. And there's this little vestibule, I suppose is the word. It's a 2.5 or wow, 3-something foot by 3-something foot square where you enter. And then there's stairs immediately in front of you. So you can't just like lean in and get more room. And your door opens inside. So it's great to enter the house. But when you're actually trying to let yourself the fuck out, it's horrible. You're almost, yeah, like leaning over from 2 stairs up to grab the knob so it can swing and not hit your fat bitch tits. But even someone of a normal size would have problems with that. Same with your stairs. Your stairs are a little narrow.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely designed for someone who was the average American in 1923.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Who went to fight the Kaiser at 130 pounds. Right. And he was the private pile of the division. Right. There's a lot of shit just not designed for modern life there. The central air was very lacking. You needed a space heater in your room.
Yeah, but I told you the rent for the place is $1,100.
The rent is dog shit.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful to look at. It's great. I love the layout of your joint.
Yeah.
It's got the high ceilings. There's all kinds of cool shit inside it. It really does look nice. I'm just
saying. Butcher block countertop. I mean, we have an additional storage freezer, so we have so much food in the house. It's just, it's spacious. We have a fireplace. It's ridiculous, man. It's a beautiful home for dirt cheap.
Yeah, it's dirt cheap because literally on the back half of your block, it's separated by an alley before you get to the crack?
There's like probably 50 vacant properties that are scheduled for demolition before April 1st.
But it's not even an alley. It's just kind of mud and then houses behind you.
Essentially, there's a second street that existed behind my house. And
like in the horse-drawn cart days.
Yeah, it's basically not used anymore because all the houses on that like half street are abandoned. It's 20 and yeah. So it's a half street and it is now abandoned and it's going to be transformed now into a park. There is a redevelopment organization that's coming in and like turning this now into a gentrified neighborhood. So I am in the front line of gentrification.
Now, did you ever watch The Wire?
Actually, I drove you through part of a neighborhood that was used in, I think, is it the season 2 where they have the drug dens in the vacants?
No. Oh, that's later on. Okay. Later on. Season 2 is when they go to the docks.
Okay.
We drive through season 2 anytime we enter Baltimore.
All right. The one with the vacants.
Well,
so
the vacants, yeah, become where they hide corpses.
Okay.
Like, literally, you mentioning vacants sent a shiver up my spine. Because I'm telling people right now who are listening and have seen The Wire, the houses behind Howard are so decrepit, they couldn't have even been used in The Wire. There's a huge plot line. I want to say season 4 out of 5, maybe into season 5. There's Snoop. Snoop is a chick drug dealer killer. And her whole big thing is she kills people and hides them in the vacants using a nail gun because they figured out no one will go into the shitty vacant house if you board up the door in the same manner that we saw countless houses with the boarded up doors driving through your area. So simply board it up. No one's going to search for a corpse in there.
Yeah. So that street I drove you down where there's the $10,000 house.
Yeah.
That's where they filmed some of
those. Those are Detroit prices, by the
way.
Yeah.
That's where they filmed some of like The Wire when they were showing vacants.
That was probably the Hamsterdam part where Hamsterdam, yeah, was an open air drug market in vacant homes.
Yeah, that one. Okay. So that was filmed.
So I drove through Hamsterdam yesterday.
So there's like 3 or 4 blocks south of where I'm based.
Yeah.
That's where that was filmed.
I never understood, by the way, why it was called Hamsterdam. Like I just always thought that there was some dumb shit. I'm trying to remember the kid's name. He hears Amsterdam. Like, he's the cop's like, yeah, it's like Amsterdam. The kid's like, Hamsterdam? And the cop's like, yeah, something like that. It's because there's an area of Baltimore next door called Hamden. So I guess the dumb shit just threw the H on the front of it.
Oh, yeah, Hamden.
Hamsterdam.
Hamden's got the best liquor store in town. It is nice. It is nice.
These buildings are so screwed up and torn down, though, you couldn't hide a corpse for shit in them. The houses, like I said, on the wire were more intact because at least you could put boards on the front and be like, oh, the secret is contained within. These are just gouges through the bricks. The backs of half these fucking houses were missing. The front floor, or the top floor, is missing half of its front.
No, it's been an experience. That's why I needed you to come out and like put eyes on it, because that area is going to be so nice in 10 years.
Yeah.
People will not believe what it looked like. I know, it's just, it's a strange thing.
Now, if you hit a corpse in those houses 3 months later, a squirrel would be coming out with a knuckle bone in its teeth. People would be like, what the fuck is that?
No, they really are knocking those down. Yeah, you wouldn't believe the amount of money that's going into my neighborhood right now for redevelopment. It's one of the top projects in the city of Baltimore. So.
For all the shit I saw, I'm still vaguely intrigued by living there. Like, one of the safer parts. And not the $10,000 house. I'm not a damn dunce.
I mean, you did want to see it when I told you there was a $10,000 house,
though. Of course.
Yeah.
And the real problem is the houses aren't even that bad.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, these could be really nice places
to live.
It's
just, you drive down one block, you go down one block, and there's all these art projects. Like, you showed me the fucking apartments where they let artists live on the cheap if they submit a portfolio. That's insanely cool.
Yeah.
How great is that? And there's all these wall murals and shit. And then you go one block down, and it's just an old lady sitting on her porch with this dead stare, and you're like, I am going to get raped and murdered at 2 p.m.
It's not that bad.
I'm going to get a load pumped in my ass and then shot through the cerebellum.
I mean, this, you have to move east of Greenmount to get a little more sketch. And honestly, it's West Baltimore that's really a place where you need to watch out at stoplights.
It's fucking insane.
Because, like, you're not going to belong in West Baltimore. That's just how it is. Like, you're going to be really obvious. Whereas where I am, it's almost kind of nice having, like, some white people in the neighborhood, it seems. I mean, there's a little bit of a resentment that it's just this unavoidable flood that's going to ultimately push out a lot of the existing residents. But for the moment...
Oh, yeah. I would assume, like, black people who are good and teetering on the brink are like, you fucking cracker shits. You're going to shove me into the bad neighborhoods.
Well, what's cool about the whole idea behind this arts district and why it's succeeding is that I think after the first few rounds of armed robberies in the streets, they realized like the only white people who were moving in were really poor.
Mm-hmm.
So like the best you could do is like take their instrument. And I think when it comes, like when we were broken into, they saw my musical instruments and they didn't take them. I think they felt bad about,
to be fair, if you had like a mixing board, they would have taken that. A turntable, that would have been gone. They're like, a guitar, what the fuck am I gonna do with this?
Say, well, you
Peter,
sell it.
Paul and Mary.
But it's just, there's like this moment of guilt where it's like, this person seems to have some sort of interest in creative art, I'm just gonna take their computer.
Oh, you are just attributing way too much to that.
No, but I mean, it's just like, I can imagine at first where it's just like, all right, fine, let's just be more practical with it. Like, you rob somebody on the street, all they have is a violin. It's like, well, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this? Like, pawn it? It could be pretty easy to trace. That's the other thing.
Yeah, they grab it. They're like Stratovarius, and then they just smash it against the wall.
No, but like you really can trace equipment much more easily. So,
I suppose, man. I think you're giving way too much credit to the man who broke into your house and stole your shit. Where he's doing a moral inventory. Like, can I live with myself?
No, I think
if I take an artist's implements, I'm not sure.
I think it's more like it is really hard to show up at a place with an instrument when you clearly have no business owning it. And it's like, really? You own this? I think that's one of the problems.
Yeah, he's like, what, motherfucker? Jimi Hendrix didn't exist?
Whereas if you show up with a big screen TV, it's like, I hope this isn't traceable. You know, and that's just kind of how pawn shops work. But you show up with an instrument, I think...
That'd be great. Like, some fucking crackhead shows up. It's like, all right, play the opening chorus to Smoke on the Water. And then he does it. And all are silenced.
But no, man, I think, like, when it came to making this neighborhood into an arts district, there was more of a permissive attitude of the residents who were there to, like, having broke-ass white people move in versus the gentrification that came with Hopkins... Where, you know, the further that Johns Hopkins campus extended, the more it was just like a bunch of rich white kids, you know?
Yeah.
So you still see a bit.
Don't forget the rich Asian kids. There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them at Hopkins. And
Jordan's building where he lives because he's doing well for himself, that's all rich Asian kids.
Yeah, it's weird to see the Hopkins campus, and it does really require a bit more security for the students there, I feel. They are somewhat of targets, so.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Their parents would pay a ransom. I'm reminded of the Biggie lyric, daughter tied up in a Brooklyn basement.
Wow.
they can do bad things to Hopkins kids. Those guys, dude, doesn't that blow your mind sometimes when you really think of the fuck you money, quote unquote, some adults have? Some quote unquote adults, if I'm going to do the air quotes, get them in the right part.
Right.
Like, they're paying the $1,700 a month for their little fuck kid just to live off campus, much less the whole of tuition.
Right.
And they've got their whole life that they're paying for, too. That blows my mind. That's real money. That's adulthood. We're getting a call, by the way. A business call. Anytime I say we're getting a call, it's not my fucking family. There's someone I got to answer to. So pause for a moment. All right, Howard, we're back. What are you staring at on your phone?
Just one of my favorite bands is coming out with a new album. So,
who?
Little Hurricane.
Who the hell is Little Hurricane?
They're an indie band based out of San Diego. Met them when they came through D.C. at the Black Cat about a year and a half ago.
Were they the ones that were supposed to be on the show or something?
Yeah, I thought about trying to get them on at some point, but they've swung through a couple of, I'm sorry, just one other time on tour since then. And I didn't end up making it to that show. I just felt like it cost too much to like pay to see them. And I can't remember who they were opening for. At the Fillmore, it was like $40. Mm-hmm. And I just...
The Spice Girls.
I'll buy their next LP, but I'm not going to pay $40 to go see a show in Silver Spring. Sorry, Fillmore.
I don't pay shit to see shit now. I love being old. I love not going to concerts. It gets my dick hard. My ex was like, do you want to see? No, I don't. Before you even finish, don't want to see it. She was still into live music at like 26.
I still go to live shows. Oh, I just bought tickets this morning before I came here, man.
I love just being an old curmudgeon-y cunt about that shit.
Nah, man, live music is the key. Like, why do we listen to garbage on the radio? It's because everybody's pretty satisfied with...
I don't listen to that either.
Electronic beats and bullshit, man. I mean, it's fine a little bit, but damn it. Give me some live R&B, ability to play
rap
music.
And bullshit. There's your RZA quote for the day.
I saw a great article on him complaining about the problem with the samples market. Getting sample clearances is so expensive now that... He's actually somewhat opposed to the poor quality of beats that are being made to back up hip hop now.
I'm not going to say that all beats are bad. I mean, Kanye seems to put a lot of work into his, as much as I think the guy's a shit smear and I don't really listen to him.
But the quality of some of the licks that you can grab from somebody else's material when you sample, unbelievable.
Yeah, but that's what hip hop was in the day when you and I listened. It would literally just be a loop over and over. Like,
yeah.
I played Fuji Law for the girlfriend, and I mean, she zoned out in 5 seconds, but it's literally Fuji Law's one beat over and over. Can we play that for a second, or will I have
sure,
to get
man.
Sued now? Okay. YouTube.com. That is one of my all-time favorites. Right now, we are doing to the show what I did to her, where I'm like, just give me 5 seconds to play this, and she's like, fuck, okay.
Nah, man, so Kanye is doing some fun stuff. I just think he himself has the ability to sample when he wants, and so it's difficult for up-and-coming artists because, like, with Gold Digger even, Kanye apparently was able to place a call directly to Ray Charles' estate mm-hmm. in order to make that sample happen.
Oh, yes. See, just a little bass at the beginning. This is what I remember hip-hop as from the early 90s, and then just repetition. How can you... This is it.
Yeah.
That's the entire fucking song. That's it. Over and over and over. And I'm going to say that I think, like, self-made beats have kind of always sucked for the most part.
They don't suck. Like, they're up and down like any sort of musical
yeah,
composition.
Okay, yeah. Give me that. Because, like, you had back in the day, Swizz Beatz kind of sucked, to be quite honest.
Not a Swizz Beatz fan. Interesting.
He did a lot with DMX.
Yeah.
And I didn't like a lot of Swizz Beatz stuff. I also don't like that he's fucking Alicia Keys because I would prefer to have that job. By the way, have we noticed anything? We're supposed to be at the hook soon. It says instrumental plus hook. Okay. There it changed up a bit. This was hip hop in my day. I loved the repetition. It was so great that people like had such issues with this, and yet trip hop and all that bullshit. Okay, that's it. But it's just Lauryn Hill singing over the same fucking beat. That's the hook. It was people go nuts and be like, that's so repetitive. And yet you listen to Aphex Twin, two white guys doing the same shit. It's like, oh my God, that's the best thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, all pop music is really repetitive. Like, it's all just the same chord structure repeated over and over.
Yeah.
I saw this weird interview with Dave Grohl. He was talking to KG from Tenacious D.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this little mocked up interview where, like, Dave Grohl's just going off on why white people, or what kind of music white people love. And he's just basically like, whenever I write a song, you know, it's not really because I want to write music for myself. It's to pay for my mansion. And so here's the formula for getting white people to listen. You go chorus, chorus, pre-chorus, chorus. And he and KG actually wrote a song.
What? Sorry. Yeah. My homage to Ron and Fez, circa 97.
But yeah, I mean, people get upset about hip-hop being repetitive, and like Dave Grohl pretty much admits, like, hey, I write music because this is what white people dance to. And him and KG really did, at the very end of this, write a song called Laughs a Bitch, Keep on Truckin'. And it's just like, yeah, that is the kind of chorus that white people would get into, and save a horse, ride a cowboy. You know, it's the same thing.
It's very cookie cutter. Have you ever... Hold on.
Life's a bitch, keep on trucking. Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, I'm down with that. My white half is getting down.
Hold on. Let me see if there's an ad of the... Okay, there's an intro with Brian posting here. This is called Metal by Numbers. And he just gets a bunch of Brian Posehn, or is it Posehn? It looks like Posehn, just a very German spelled name. He does a song called Metal by Numbers. The lyrics are killer. The chorus is the real payoff. We're gonna sit here till we get to the chorus.
Yeah, this is horrible.
Oh no, just if you actually heard the lyrics, you'd be really crapping yourself laughing.
I heard a couple things that were pretty funny.
Damn it.
What does he say?
The part where it sounds like the singer wants to fight.
Metal by numbers, 1, 2, 3. Follow these fools and you'll see. Cookie Monster vocals that yell like a Wookiee. Metal by numbers.
He's pretty good.
With melody, even a baby can do it. Just give it a try. Sound like me or Metallica every time I die.
There you go. Here's the gay part with melody. That might be my favorite. It's true though. Anyone who used to get on hip hop for being repetitive, fucking rock is the same shit.
Yeah.
Chorus, pre-chorus, bridge, pre-chorus, chorus. Ta-da. We're done.
Yeah, I mean, jazz was possibly like... I really liked jazz growing up. I mean, you used to come over and see my CD collection just full of weird...
Into such baller shit when I was just a dumb little kid. Like, oh, gonna jerk off the latest KMFDM.
I mean, that's good stuff, man. Don't say
no,
so.
No, it was. It was good. You just were really into variety. My exposure to jazz, my friend whose house I used to always get fucked up at, his dad was big into jazz, so I'd wake up the next day, like, all still flooded with serotonin from the drugs.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, jazz is fucking great.
Yeah, I mean, it's challenging. You don't know what's going to come next is kind of cool. I like that about music.
It was just nice sit down, shut up, watch some HBO.
It saddens me that so many people want music to just be predictable and familiar.
But that's the human brain in general. We don't want what is literally the same, but we just want a twist. We really don't want anything that fucking different. Anything really different, if you read just on psychology and shit like that, we are terrified of the truly different. And it's simple as that.
But there's something about music that kind of takes a detour and comes back to the familiar that's great, where it's just redundant to a point where you're really listening to the same fucking thing over and over again every 8 seconds. I mean, that to me is kind of sad in a way. And for me, like, it's Herbie Hancock had a great apology for hip hop, because his explanation for it is like, you can't focus on the musicality of it. You got to focus on the poetry of what's being said. So to me, the cool thing about hip hop is the volume of lyrics you can get out in a short amount of time. Whereas
I guess,
you're singing, yeah.
That turns my stomach, though. It just reminds me of a Warren Beatty quote back when he did Bullworth, if you remember that piece of shit, when he thought he'd like knocked it out of the park and solved all the race issues in America.
Right.
And he was like, I don't really listen to hip-hop, but I think they're poets and must be heard. And then it's like, what was the big song from the Bullworth soundtrack, Ghetto Superstar?
Right, yeah.
It's just like ODB at the end, just like, bah, bah, bah. Why, you know what? While we're using the board and YouTube, fuck it. Let me try to dig up the end of Ghetto Superstar. Featuring DC's own Maya. There you go. Bringing it full circle.
Oh, remember when Maya did that duet with Silk the Shocker?
I just remember Maya.
For the worst in her career.
She did like, 5 years after Maya mattered. She did a Tupac mix of Fair Exchange where they were just literally taking every 8 words Pac said.
Yeah.
On tape and made an entire song about it. Yeah, and it was like literally just like the entire song could be retitled, If You're Gonna Eat My Box, I'll Suck Your Dick. And it ain't happening if you don't eat my box.
Wow.
And of course, it's Pac just aggressively talking about like putting a whip on her cunt.
Wow.
Putting a whip in. Well, that's actually a Ghetto Boys line. But he was he would brag that he made her come 51 times, if I remember the lyric properly.
Wow.
Yeah. Something good for a boy to aspire to. You know how much of my life I spent fucking like I was in a hip hop lyric. It's totally without satisfaction to fuck for 5 hours and get one nut. Because then the girl thinks you enjoyed it because she sure as hell enjoyed it probably. Or she's raw as fuck. Who the hell knows? I don't know what's going on in that mystery box they call an organ down there.
You're just setting way too high an expectation for the future.
Yeah. I would resent my quote unquote fuck buddies because they'd call. And, be like expecting the same thing, I guess. I like the way I fuck now where it's just a race to get a nut. Where it's just like, oh, did I get into 10 minutes?
Yeah.
We're fine then. That's what you need. That's what I need. Let's go back to watching Netflix. We're on season 7 of 30 Rock.
Like I saw a survey recently where more than like 75% of people want sex to be done in 45 minutes.
Poetry. The poetry of the street.
Don't hate on ODB, man. I was listening.
Kidding? He's my fucking favorite.
Yeah, I was listening to Nigga Please Yes like last night, man.
Oh, we're not allowed to say that. Sorry.
I'm referring to the name of the album.
Oh no, we still can't. I forgot on what website it might have been. Gawker. I was reading something, and they literally will type anything on Gawker except the word nigga and nigger are so hateful. I had to read N_ in a fucking publication for adults.
Well, even with ODB's album, you have to use the stars in order to... Didn't they put stars on the album cover?
It's on the front cover. That's very, very different.
Okay.
I don't think you were really allowed on a major label. Wasn't he Elektra?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, back when they had... was it Cynthia Rohn? She was like the first black executive or some shit. I don't know if Cynthia Rohn would have been okay with putting fucking Nigga Please on something of her imprint. I could be wrong. Cynthia might have been out by that point.
The
Why
name
do I know
of
that?
The title track to the album.
I know, but it's just N star star star.
Yeah. Is that the Young DB? It's the ODB.
I'm looking up Cynthia Rohn. I think I'm wrong. Damn it. I thought I had a real pull on that. Damn it. Sorry. I've brought this to... God damn it. What was her fucking name?
Yeah, man. We had an outline.
Motley Crue hated her. That's all I remember.
We had an outline and shit.
Yeah, we did great. What are you talking about? We got 45 minutes. Well, we'll shave a couple minutes for the phone call I took. We were at like 40 minutes. We're on topic one.
Yeah, so any final thoughts on coming to my hood?
Yes. If I bought a house there, my car would be jacked in 2 weeks and all of my locksmithing equipment taken.
I mean, my
I would have to buy the house next to me, so I'd go a whole 20K in and then just turn that into a fucking multi-tiered garage. That's all I can think of.
No, man. I mean, it's a great place. I'm very excited to stay connected to Baltimore, but yeah, I won't be living there past the summer. So.
That's my real concern. I got several $1,000s worth of shit in my car. I can't be living in a place where that's going to get stolen because I'm too lazy to take it in and out of the car every fucking time.
Yeah, no, you'd have to do it every time.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Do not want to do that.
No.
I would just knock down the house next to me and then put in a ramp, and it would look like a Hot Wheels parking garage where the ramp is just inclined up at 75 degrees. I would have no front yard. That's what it'd have to go in it.
You're not really built for city life at times, I think.
Only because of my job. If I didn't have shit to get stolen out of my car.
Yeah, no, I
don't think living in a city has to be synonymous with having your shit stolen.
It's not that, like, you're incapable of living in a city, but I think some of the conveniences of suburban life are...
I enjoy.
Too important to you to give up, such as the ability to have your
own... Sleep at night without clutching a gun? Yeah, I'm pretty keen on that.
Yeah, man, I think you're more... I was just going with, like, you like having a driveway.
I don't care about having to hunt for parking. Again, it's having a car that isn't on cinder blocks to come out to after I park. That part's kind of crucial to me.
Yeah, I mean, again, my city is one where it varies from block to block. You're not going to see
Chevy Chase
on my street
asking for directions in vacation.
Like, nothing bad happens on my street. It's the street behind mine that is really scary.
Yes, if only crackheads acquired the ability to walk. Like our ancestors that came out of the sea, then I'd be fucked. They mill about for a couple blocks, man.
Nah, like my block is known pretty well around the neighborhood for having diligent old people, such as the one who helped you get out of your parking space.
God bless old black people.
Because they call the cops
they
all the time.
They are quick to drop a dime.
And the cops come quick to my neighborhood. That shows you what kind of old black people live on my block. So.
I don't know what kind. Tell me.
The kind that get the cops to actually show up when they call 911.
Oh. I thought that was going to get more detailed, but okay.
No. Do you know how hard that is in a lot of the black communities in
yeah,
America?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I've listened to a Naughty by Nature lyric or two. I know my way around the hood, sir. Let's do 6 Feet Under. I guess we can do this as the finale bit.
All right.
I've been watching the shit out of it. Have you seen 6 Feet Under?
It's been a while, but I watched maybe
it's only
12
like years old. I mean,
10 episodes of the first season, something like that. It's good. I just, like, don't really stick much with serials anyway, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I am kind of different, I suppose. I used to be more choosy in the day when you actually had to watch them live and make a commitment. Mm-hmm. But now that you can punch something up on HBO Go or Netflix, I'll get into what the fuck ever.
Okay.
As long as it's somewhat watchable, I'll do it. Really. What am I doing with my life? If you can blunt my life for 60 or 70 hours? There you go. Nobel Prize territory.
I mean, it's tough for me to be committed to watching a character for 48 hours of programming. I think that would be asking a lot, and you're just talking of two seasons of a normal show on TV. So,
like, 6 Feet Under is 13 episodes a season at 50 minutes a pop. So you do the math, your agent.
I would give up by, like, season 4 is way too much. Season 3 is probably too much. Like, season 2... is stretching, like, my patience in that format, so.
Are you more of a movie guy, then? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'd rather, like, if you have something to say with unique characters, do it in 1 to 3 movies. I mean, I don't mind the trilogy of movies, but that's, at most, 9 hours.
But you don't like that a character can gain more dramatic depth and gravitas, however you want to say it?
I just get tired of them.
Okay.
I don't know. There's only so much that can be said with any individual character, I feel.
This is weird to me. So what series have you actually done the whole thing with?
Last series was probably like Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. We didn't have pubes when that started.
Yeah, I mean, but I've really like had a hard time getting into anything since. I think the closest is probably X-Files, but I gave up season 4 and I realized they didn't have a direction. They didn't know what was
going to
happen.
I'll give you a pass on X-Files. X-Files got so fucking bad. I mean, by the end, wasn't it like they replaced Scully with some Latina Spitfire? Because that's how you have to describe any Latin... chick.
But that's how every television show seems to work. They don't write the ending before they start.
No,
to me, it's despicable.
Going and going and
it's
going.
Despicable.
Well, that's more the American model, where it's just like, let's milk this bitch.
So yeah, I'd rather watch BBC television. I mean, not Doctor Who, which is interminable. But if you have these shows that are like 2 seasons long, 12 episodes,
I do
in
like
total,
the way they handle that.
It's much better because it's a storyline, beginning to end, planned out. You might not have had the budget for a movie, and BBC was able to put together
BBC
something.
Goes way too far the other way. Now, I don't know if it was made directly for BBC, but it's just British television,
mm-hmm.
So I'll just count it as BBC. But there was a show called, like, Gavin and Stacey I liked. It was on Netflix. And it was about these two people. They meet online. They meet in real life. They fuck. They have a kid. They love each other, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, okay.
Like, it stops off right when I think they get Stacey pregnant. Like, season 3 is, oh, I'm having issues with the kid.
Oh.
And she gets preggers, and then they do a Christmas episode. Oh, those Brits love their Christmas episodes. Yeah. And they have a Christmas episode. The kids popped out, and that's it. They don't give two shits about, like, do you know how many seasons they would have milked that shit?
Yeah.
In America? It would have been like Fresh Prince, where suddenly, right, like, Nikki's born, and then the next year he's a sassy five-year-old. Like, what the fuck happened? Are we not going to acknowledge the fact this kid is, like, a pituitary issue?
Actually, I take it back. So when I was living with our friend Corey from back in the day, when I was living with him last year.
Senor Coons?
When he and I were living together,
okay.
His girlfriend would watch a lot of Psych. I like Psych. That's the only type of show I watch where it's the same thing over and over again every episode.
Oh, like an actual old, like, Gunsmoke type series.
Because there's not an evolution so much of the characters throughout where you're, like, having to...
That's what you said. It's a serial or, yeah, it's an episodic thing.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I enjoy, like, yes, there are these, like, underlying plot lines, but essentially it's all working to the same end. We all know that he's going to get the girl. Like, yeah. So their whole relationship...
Very much like Dr. House. So yeah. you'd still be decent with, like, network TV.
I like House. I actually do enjoy House. That last season really jumped the shark when he went to prison. That was ridiculous.
I punched out... I got into House, this will sound funny, like so much shit in my life, back when I was working overnights at TOP and I just needed something to watch at, like, I don't know, 3 a.m. You're like, mm-hmm. God help me, I've done all my work. And there's an episode, maybe the first one I ever saw was Olivia Wilde, like, lezzing out. That'll sell anyone on anything. I was like, right. Fuck yeah, I'm all in, 2 feet. And I catch up, I watch all the seasons, and I get through, I think, season 5. I think her lezzing out was 3 or 4. Real PC. I like how I repeat it all the time. And the next season, I think he's finally putting stones to Cuddy, Dr. House's, and there's like a parking garage collapse. And for some reason, that was the season premiere, and I just had this epiphany. I'm like, this show sucks now. And I walked away, and I think, yeah, I had 2 more weird seasons. They're like, Wilson has cancer, and they drive off in the sunset together or something like that. Spoiler alert. Sorry,
yeah, I mean,
too late.
For me, I look at 6 Feet Under. And the reason I walked away, I thought the characters were designed well. It was interesting.
Who doesn't want to see Dexter take a cock or two?
I mean, I guess shows like that, you start to get into characters, and I guess you're supposed to get invested in them personally. And for me, I'm just like, you know, there's a certain point when you're asking me to get invested in a character in a serial as, like, they go throughout their life. Maybe I should just, like, give my friends a call more often and, like, try to track people from my past
that.
As they reach new... moments in their life. We had a good friend who just had a kid. I just called him yesterday because it took me about a week to really, like, try to figure out how to talk to him, since, you know, fatherhood can be kind of crazy.
You didn't want to just call and be like, wear a condom, dummy, and hang up. Even though the pregnancy was planned. You dumb fuck. Egg all over your face.
No, I think that's a conversation you're supposed to have with your brother.
Yeah. Mr. I believe she's on the pill.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I really wish I could slap some sense into him.
Because even when they're on the pill, like, it's pretty hard to remember to take that every day.
Dude, my chick, literally, I think she's been on the pill for months, and I've yet to pull the condom off. And you know me, I'm usually such a shit about that, but for some reason, I'm okay with it. Because it's like, it's nothing against her. It's anyone I've ever seen on the pill, AKA a female. They're how bad are they at, like, getting anywhere on time? Just time comprehension is bad.
Because I've heard with irregularity in taking it,
it goes down to like 80% effectiveness.
Yeah,
that's
basically
dog shit.
You're back to pulling out. You're back to pulling out. Like, once, yeah. It's that ineffective if you're not gonna bother to do it the same time every day.
No,
like,
it's
if you're
like,
not strict with it.
I mean, it's literally, you've got a nice, let's say, an alpaca rug, just like in American Gangster.
Yeah.
And you got some brawny paper towels, and you just dump a bottle of red wine on it. If one drop gets through that, the alpaca's fucked. And that's what you're doing if she ain't taking the pill. On the regular, it's what, 95%? 99%?
I think it's 98.
What, so you're not fucking your chick 100 times? Just play the odds.
Yeah.
I mean, even 98 is hog shit. But to me, the pill is like, okay, if we have a kid, I guess it wouldn't be the end of the world. Because it's not foolproof. Or you're pulling out while using the pill. Which, at that point, who gives a shit? I don't know. having to pull out like when you're finishing, that's the worst. That is the absolute worst. That's like getting right to the point you're about to fall asleep in your warm bed and then someone throws you in a freezer. What the fuck? It's everything that you were doing right made wrong. Pulling out is the absolute fucking worst. I'd rather pull out like way beforehand and just finish with a jacking.
Yeah.
I don't know about you.
No, I believe we had this conversation the last time we were involved in a threesome.
Oh, okay, yeah, I remember that.
You're pretty upset.
The it was girl you, was... me, and then what was Jerry saying? So. Guys, I told you I'm not gay. Continue. Continue.
You promised me this wouldn't be videotaped.
Yeah. What's with the fourth guy? That really queers things. I don't know why you're laughing at that.
Low-hanging fruit. I'm sorry, man, but I think I just shitted on your desire to talk about the content of 6 Feet Under.
Who gives a shit about 6 Feet Under? It's all radio content. Like, we could do the 6 Feet Under break another time now. We're at 55 minutes.
How long do you think you're going to go?
I'll finish it.
You'll finish the show?
Oh, when it comes to something like this, I got stick-to-itiveness like a motherfucker.
All right.
I just have to sit there and passively absorb something. It isn't writing a book or writing a blog post or anything like that.
I think you should
write a... gym, eating well.
You should write a blog entry at some point, trying to compare this and put it in the pantheon of HBO television shows, that sort of thing.
Not a bad idea. We'll see if I remember it.
All right. I mean, you're going to watch so damn much of it, you're going to have something to say about it.
I got tons to say.
Yeah.
It would have been a radio segment, but you trampled it. You bitch.
Whatever. You're going to watch, what, you're in season 2 right now?
No, I'm wrapping up season 3.
Okay. I mean, you got way more to go before you can have like a fully formed opinion on the whole series.
I suppose I do. Before I write the post that's going to go viral about a show that wrapped up in 2005 that had six viewers.
I was really confused why that was on the prep sheet today. Like,
I've just been watching it a lot. It's on the prep sheet because I've been watching it a lot, and when I listen to talk radio, I try to pay attention most of all to what they do to structure the show around, and you never really go wrong if you talk about pop culture and things you're doing. The problem is, all the TV that Opie and Anthony watch, it's like current shit. They're watching 90 Day Fiancé right now. That's a show people can talk about because it's on air.
Right.
I'm kind of going the other direction, like, this is so fucking old, hopefully someone has seen it. But no one I know has seen it, short of Richie Killiam, actually.
Oh, he sat through...
He apparently watched and liked it when it was first on.
But this is the same guy who did True Blood, right?
Alan Ball?
Yeah.
Yeah. Believe so. We can wrap this up, by the way.
All right.
I think we're at the finish line. Oh, yeah. Yeah. How the fuck did that happen?
Did you have to do those promos, though? I mean, I guess we can skip the viral video you mentioned, but...
Oh, the viral video with the fat dancer, and it looks like Fantasia. That was my big joke, folks. There's a video, and it's like, dancers can be any size. And it's this huge, morbidly obese chick who I'm giving her a pass. She's got a health issue. God bless. Whatever. Feel better about yourself. But I'm sick of being told, like, she doesn't look ridiculous doing this and is able. She can't kick her leg up high because it's a big, fat, fatty leg. And then right next to her is this really thin guy who's just nailing all the moves, just fruiting it up to the nines. Right. And it literally looks like Fantasia with the big hippo dancing next to the skinny crocodile. It's fucking hilarious. Watch them side by side and then go, John, wow. You had one.
Wow.
All right, folks. You've listened to Papa's Basement, the now with no outro music until I get off my ass and find something that isn't copywritten. Folks, I said folks 3 times now. Kill me. Just kill me, folks. How's that? Just drag me in the street for saying folks and put one through the back right here. In Papa's Basement, it's the show's website. Go there for a new episode every Monday and every Thursday. I write a bunch for the site as well, which typically means I crap out something on Friday before my workday starts. You want to follow me and Howard on Twitter? I'm at Papa's Basement. Howard is at What the F and Heezy. Please go on iTunes. Holy shit, please. If you have any access to iTunes and you subscribe to podcasts, any of that sort of shit, look up Papa's Basement. Don't look up In Papa's Basement. You'll get nothing because iTunes is dumb. Just look up Papa's Basement Square and as well, Papa's Football Podcast. And then subscribe and rate us. And try not to hear my hand drumming on the console as I make all my points. Like an emphatic Mussolini. We're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah.
You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way, glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way.